Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Romans chapter 1, verse 12. Romans chapter 1, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, of asking you of your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you would be glorified in our lives and empowered for your glory. Bless the message tonight, and we'll give you the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Mutual Faith, Both of You and Me." That's what Paul said there. The mutual faith, both of you and me. And so Paul really was giving the believers at Rome, and also today to the believers, because this was put in the canon of Scripture, an empowering truth, or truths really, that every believer needs to know. Because it's in the Word of God, we need to know this important truth. And that is, it's God's desire and Paul's desire, because he's being led by the Holy Spirit, that we stand in this world in the power of God. That we stand in this world in the power of God. Tonight we'll just take a look at some things here tonight, some truths. Those who are the called of Jesus, this will be the first thought. And then also called to be saints by God's grace and peace. We'll see that. And then the work of the new Spirit. There is a work of the new Spirit. Now, I didn't say the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, but the work of the new Spirit. Well, what new Spirit is that? The new Spirit that God quickened by the Holy Spirit. And that's important. So that's how we follow. There's a spirit of man, right? We can tell the spirit of man. We can see it when people are happy, when people are sad. But there's also a spirit that's been quickened, made alive, and that's our spirit to communicate with the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this just for a moment here, the called of Jesus Christ. And that's found here in verse 6. Notice what it says, "Among whom are ye also the" what? "Called of Jesus Christ." So let's back up and remember, we have a mutual faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You ever hear people say something, how they feel? "Oh, the feeling, my feelings are mutual. They're the same with your feelings. I feel the exact same way." Paul is saying we have the same exact faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a mutual faith. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, God is wanting to bless every believer and for every believer to experience the grace of God in a life-changing way. That's really what it's all about. So let's look at verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, notice, called to be an apostle. That's something that God did. That's a work that God did. I can promise you, before salvation, Paul had no desire to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he? In fact, he was on the complete opposite mission, wasn't he? He was out there looking to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was doing so. And by the way, that's exactly what we do in our own ignorance, without knowledge, right? Without knowing. And it takes God to intervene in our understanding that we might recognize the error of our way. Listen, we were wrong before salvation, right? When we didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we were sinners, and we were separated by our sins. And God restored that, gave us understanding that the lost don't understand. They think, oh, they got religion. Oh, no, we've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They may say a whole bunch of things that they think we have, but they'll never know unless they taste for themselves the grace of God. And that's what we've been given as believers. And saying that, also, it is possible and probable that as we grow in the Lord, there are truths that we're learning also and becoming to understand. God brings us to these places. And I think we'll see some powerful truths that will be reinforced or maybe just illuminated to our hearts and minds for the first time tonight. Look at verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is talking about the gospel of God. This is what he's been preaching. It's the same gospel from the very beginning, the grace of God. All the way back in the garden, was it not? The grace of God. Even amongst Cain and Abel, to Cain. Listen, remember, God came to him when he was rejected, when his offering was rejected. And he said, "Hey, won't you be accepted too if you do right?" You know what that tells me? God, listen, is not a respecter of any persons. And what that means is that God will receive everybody. He doesn't favor one above the other. all are welcome to come if they'll come and seek him. The Bible says they'll find him. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ. So again, he promised before by his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. Concerning, verse 3, his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So he's saying it's all the way from the very beginning, coming from the lineage of David in the Old Testament. And then notice in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Remember now, we have the same mutual faith. Remember that Jesus said that greater works than what he did will you and I as believers be able to do. This is important. And again, it's not in our strength, but it's in the power of God. And God wants us to experience that. God wants us to have this amazing moment where we say, God is real and God is powerful in me, in my life. He's doing these things, and we were brought to the place of praise. So again, notice in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. According to the Spirit of holiness. Now that is a work of the Holy Spirit, but you'll notice the word Spirit there is in the lower case. So there is the Spirit there in us that God has quickened, that he wants for us to listen to him, to be able to communicate with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit. But that's never done in our flesh. That's all only done in the Spirit that God has quickened. All right. So notice what he says right here. He says, by the resurrection from the dead. This is the bottom of verse 4. By whom we have received, notice, grace and apostleship. Notice, now this is, he's speaking about his position, but he's going to also share what we have with him. For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So he's saying, this is what we have, among whom are ye also, notice, the called of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So we are called of Jesus Christ in the first place. Now we're called to be saints here by the grace of God. And so this is all a work of God in the life of the believer. And if we miss this, we're going to struggle. If we don't understand this, we're going to wonder why we're failing God. And that's the simple reason why, because we are trying to do something that we can't do, and we're leaving God out of it, right? You can love God, and I believe every saved child of God loves the Lord. I believe that. But that is not merit enough to gain us the victory or deliverance. It has to still be the grace of God in and through us that delivers us. It can't be by our effort. So notice what he says here. So we are the called of Jesus Christ in verse 6. And in verse 7, notice what he says. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. So he's speaking specifically to the beloved of Rome, right? But is he not speaking also to all the beloved? All scripture has been given to us? Okay, so are you a beloved of the Lord? Okay, that's two. The rest of you guys are not. Are you beloved of God tonight? Amen. Why? Why are you beloved of the Lord? Well, we could all say because of the grace of God. We are the beloved of God. And so that's a good place to be. So notice this. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. This is what our calling is. Was David not called to be the king of Israel? Was David also not called to be a man after God's own heart? But did he always succeed in that? He did not succeed in that. That's important. But he can't. Listen, I want to say that he had maybe a handful of failures as you study his life. And so predominantly, he really did glorify the Lord, and he really was a man after God's own heart. Now, he had a big sin, and that really, you know, kind of is a sore spot. But listen, let's look at what God really did and how David glorified the Lord. When David went after Goliath, and Saul was shaking in his boots, right? He said, "You can't go. You're just a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. You're not gonna." And what did David say? Oh, listen, just like the lion and the bear, God will deliver him into my hands. What confidence! This was not something that he fabricated in his mind. It was something that God gave him, that kind of confidence.
Listen, again, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to give us that confidence in Him, that we look to Him, yes, Lord, You are more than able to deliver me and to empower my life. And so, again, He says this. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Notice what He says. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called to be saints by God's grace and peace. That's a good way to be called. So if God's grace and peace are missing, what shall we do? Three-letter word. Ask. Ask. Because if you ask, you're going to... Isn't that amazing? It's really quite that simple. And why shouldn't we ask? Oh, I don't want to put the Lord out. Really? Really? We don't want to put God out. Oh, you know, I'll just be a humble person and not ask God for a whole lot. No, listen, God is honored by fulfilling our lives in Him, and He wants to do that for us. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, this is the Spirit of God working in the life of the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was the persecutor of the church. He's completely 180 degrees different now, and it's the Spirit of God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Remember, he was the one that was persecuting the saints of Jesus Christ. Now he's thanking God for them. That could only be the work of God. Listen, the fellow people that were persecuting the church would tell you something happened to that man. He was not like that before. There's definitely a change. And Paul's telling you it was the Lord. So he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Isn't that good? Listen, I told you, and I won't mention the name because it's recorded, not that it might be heard, but here's the thing. When somebody can come into the house of the Lord like they did today and walk out and say, the people here are different in a positive light, the people here, that is the grace of God in and through the church. That is God's people opening up saying, yes, Lord. Do that. And listen, we carry the Holy Spirit, and the influence is a positive one for the glory of God. And we can stop and say, thank you, God, because that is the confirmation. That's like David saying, remember the lion and the bear? Well, we can look back September the 5th, 2021. Somebody walked out of these doors and saying, your people truly love the Lord. Your people are real. They're different than what you see and what was said just a little while ago, that a lot of churches in Colombia are not like that. And why? Why? It's not that God doesn't want them to be like that. It's that they're missing the Spirit of God. And so we've been given the Spirit. And Paul is proclaiming the change in his own life and also encouraging others to follow him. So he says, first, let me put things in order. I thank my God, verse 8, through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And by the way, Paul was instrumental in the work here of these believers. 4, verse 9, God is my witness whom I serve with my what? It's lowercase s. It's the Holy Spirit that's working, but it's the Spirit that's been quickened in our lives that is communicating with the Holy Spirit. We cannot, listen, if that Spirit was not quickened and made alive, it would not be able to understand. It would not be able to hear. It would be dead. It would not be able to respond to God's Holy Spirit. But just because it's quickened because we're born again, we need to be careful that we're being led by the little spirit that God had made alive that can now communicate and hear and follow the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We have salvation, but that does not mean that we will always be in the right frame of mind or in tune to hear the Holy Spirit if we're not following, being led of the Spirit. How do we do that? How are we to be led of the Holy Spirit? Well, we can't use human reasoning, and that's our failure. That's our fault. We try to rationalize, and then we say really brilliant things that just reveal our ignorance, spiritually speaking, when we say something like, well, everybody's doing it. No. Everybody's not doing it. Not everybody bowed the knee to Nebuchadnezzar's image. There are 3 Hebrew children that did not bow. Everybody is not correct. If you wanted to say most everybody, okay, I'll go along with you on that. But everybody doesn't have to follow the world or lean to human reasoning. We have a choice. And so how do we do that? God, not my thinking, but your word. Guide me through your word. That's how, listen, when we pray, we're talking to God. When we read his word, we're listening to what God is saying to us. And so we've got to be in the word of God, and we have to have this commitment to say, you know what, Lord, by your grace, help me. Empower my life not to lean to my own understanding. Lord, I believe, I want to believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I am telling you, this is a prayer that I say, in case you wondered. Listen, I've told you this before. Do you believe me? We can experience the victory of God. I can make it, me, George Janshall, can get to that front door and fall flat on his face. If I look to myself. If I don't realize it's the work of God that's bringing anything that would glorify the Lord. It's not me. I can't do it. I know I don't have the ability to do it. I cannot tell you, listen, how much I ask the Lord, and I cannot tell you how much I am blessed when I hear people pray for their pastor and say, God, give him the message that we need to hear. And I am convinced God has answered that prayer since I've been here. Now, and I'll let you in on a little secret too. I've not always felt that way. I have felt sometimes behind the pulpit, and I don't know, I'll credit it to the Lord's humbling, whatever it is, but I've been behind the pulpit and felt like, boy, that was a flop. And stand at the back door and somebody say to me, I cannot tell you how the Lord spoke to my heart today. And I just walk away and I just praise the Lord. I say, in spite of me and how I feel and how I think, God, you still are powerful. You can still bring the blessing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, listen, it's not just for the preacher. It's for all of God's people to be used for his honor and glory and to be given his deliverance and his victory. Okay. So he says, verse 9 again, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Isn't that good? Listen, they had a witness that was known throughout the whole world, did they not? Isn't that what verse 8 says? And notice that Paul is mentioning them in prayer all the time. It would be a good thing for all of us to pray one for another. Yeah, it really would. It's important that we pray one for another. Look at verse 10. Making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Okay, now we're getting into the place to where we're going to see the work of the new spirit in Paul. And because we have a mutual faith, it's the same work that God's going to do in us. Listen. How many of you figured this out in life already? Not everything goes the way we'd like it to go. Long time ago, probably, right? Not everything goes the way we would hope it would go. But everything does go the way that God wants it to for his glory and our good. Here's the question. Are we in the position, and the only way we can be there really is to call upon the Lord, to place us there, to receive that, no matter what it is. We can still rejoice in the Lord. We can still be thankful in all things. In all things. Should the believer be thankful for 2021? Should the believer be thankful for the situation that they're in right now? We should be, shouldn't we? You know why? Because here's the truth. Ready? We are a child of the King, and nobody will ever change that. See, that's the joy of the Lord. That's not happiness. Nobody can change the joy of the Lord. Happiness, you know, is a roller coaster ride. That's based upon what happens. Oh, it's good. It's not good. It's good. It's not good. Hang on, because it's good. If it's good, hang in there. It's not going to be good. And if it's not good, hang in there. It's going to be good again. And sometimes they feel like they're far and few in between. But the truth is, we can truly rejoice because we are in the King's hand. And we can never be taken out. And Paul's going to reveal some things here for us. Notice this here. Verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Isn't that a good thing? I'm praying. I'm asking God that it's his will that I come to you. I want to come to you. I want to see you. They want to see Paul. Notice verse 11, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift." I want to give you some more spiritual truths that will enhance your relationship and understanding with God. But notice, "to the end that you may be established." Isn't that good? Not a tumbleweed, but rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ on the solid foundation. Then watch this. "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith." Did you see that? Listen, Paul was comforted when he said, "I heard, listen, you've got a testimony that goes throughout the world." And you know what Paul was saying? You know what Paul was saying? The same thing that he saw in his own life, the grace of God. The grace of God. Paul was now a servant of the Lord instead of a persecutor of the church by the grace of God. These people are now believers and faithful by the grace of God, and successful by the grace of God, and delivered by the grace of God, and glorifying the name of God by his grace for us too. So he says, "I want you to know I'm encouraged. My faith is built when I see what the Lord is doing in your life, because it's more people experiencing this in such a way that the whole world saw it." And Paul says, "Man, look at what God is doing, not just in my life." And so notice verse 12, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Now watch this. "Now I would not have you ignorant." I want you aware of something, brethren. So he's speaking to believers, "that oftentimes," that's more than once, "I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto." And that word "let" there in the Greek has the idea of being hindered. He was kept. Something was interfering with his desire to go. And he said, "Okay, this is God's will." And so he could have said, "This is wrong. I'm going to, with all my might, change this hindrance in my life that's keeping me from being able to see the believers at Rome." No. He said, "Okay, not now. I'm going to be all right where I'm at right now because I'm in God's hands. I'm going to be all right when I'm falsely accused because I'm in God's hands. I'm going to be all right when I'm falsely imprisoned." Paul was falsely imprisoned. Paul was left for dead falsely, right? He was beaten and left for dead with no true merit to that in his life. So he says, "I want you to know, I don't want you to be ignorant that oftentimes," verse 13, "I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even among other Gentiles." That was my desire. And then he says this, and this is important. He says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." He says, "I am privileged with sharing the gospel and doing so in a way that glorifies the Lord through the new spirit." Verse 15, notice this. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." I'm ready. Haven't had the opportunity to come. Can't wait to see you. But I'm going to share the gospel to impart some new truths that will enhance your relationship with the Lord. God is in the business of revealing his righteousness to you and I and in and through our lives. Now this is amazing here as we consider this. I want you to take a look at verse 16 and 17 and keep this thought in mind. This is the righteousness of God revealed. Watch this now. Watch this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Did you see that? Listen, this is the righteousness of God. It's not ours. This is the righteousness of God revealed. We're going to look at the wrath of God revealed here in just a moment. But this is the righteousness of God revealed, and the believer should not be ashamed of it. Why? Because it is the power of salvation to those that receive and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's an Old Testament passage, by the way. Now, listen, because God is the same. He's never changed. So how will we not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by experiencing God daily, by seeing Him reveal Himself? But the only way that we're going to experience that is to call on Him and ask Him to do that. Because I promise you, listen, but today we are ripe for the slaughter. Because listen, we have things so backwards in our society, and believers have gotten caught up in it. We are more concerned with the temporal things that are passing away, and not that they're not important, but not more than our relationship with the Lord. Listen, we need to experience God in our daily life to have the experience like David did when he faced Goliath, the lion and the bear. I saw God yesterday. I saw God working. You saw God working today. Maybe God gave you, I'm praying He fed you spiritually, but you heard a testimony of a visitor today of the grace of God in Northwood Baptist Church. So God is doing a work for His honor and glory to where people are seeing it. And by the way, listen, I know you know that we're not even thinking, oh, how good we are. I know you're not even thinking that. I know you're seeing that the grace of God is merciful and gracious to even us. And God is not just our God on Sunday. He wants to be our Lord and our Savior every day and our Deliverer every day. If we'll just, Lord, this is what You said should be happening in my life. Bring it to pass. And the devil would say, yeah, but how many times have you failed in that area? Please, stop already. That's what the devil would have you do. But God says, come unto Me, and I'll give you rest. Amen. I'll take the load off. Come to Me, ask Me, and I'll answer, and I'll show you some things. Isn't that what God says? So listen, believe Him, not the devil or the flesh or the world. Because they are in opposition to the growing of God's faith in your life and mine. My flesh does not want my faith to grow in the Lord. The world definitely doesn't, and Satan for sure doesn't, because we're created in His image. So we're either going to listen to them, or we're going to listen to God. And we want to listen to the Lord. All right. So God reveals His righteousness through the gospel and the working of God's grace. And lastly, I'll challenge you to read the rest of this chapter. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I do want to look at a couple of verses here. Look at verse 18. So we saw verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Look at verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed. Did you see that? From heaven against all ungodliness. So God's not a respecter of persons. We like that to know that we can be His recipients. But He's also not a respecter of persons because God's going to judge the world. And where does He begin with? His house. Amen? His people first. So notice this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice, listen, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I'm convinced, and you'll see this in context, that He's talking to those who don't know the Lord. But it is possible for the child of God to hold the truth in unrighteousness as well. And remember, as we saw this morning, be careful. God told us to take heed, lest the light that we're walking in is darkness. Right? We can be walking in darkness, and we don't want to do that. Okay. So he says, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. And then there's a semicolon there continuing, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Did you see that? Nobody has excuse. I don't believe in atheists because of what the Word of God is saying, not because I think I'm smarter than the atheist. I'm not. I promise you, intellectually or academically speaking, there are atheists that are very intelligent, but they're fools because they've rejected the truth. Not because they're not smart or educated, but because of a foolish choice that they have made that I hope they'll change, that one day they'll see is the truth. So watch this now. Verse 19 again, because that which may be known of God is manifest, notice where? Where? In them. In them. For God hath showed it unto them. Did you listen to that truth? God had manifested in them, and God has showed it to them. Somewhere in their life, they decided to say no to God, and I'm not going to believe in you. Very quickly, notice what he says here, verse 20. For the invisible things of him, that's God, from the creation of the world are partly seen, mostly seen, clearly, clearly seen. Listen, I can believe the Lord, can't you? Maybe I don't understand that completely, but I do know this, God's true. So they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without, what?
Excuse.
No excuse. I didn't know. Freddie, do you have your homework? I didn't know we had any. That's not going to cut it. My dog ate it. Doesn't work. Notice verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And notice this, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And of course, the famous verse that's quoted, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And academically speaking, they may have an intellect that surpasses others, but they're still fools before God. God has given to you and I a mutual faith with every believer, with Paul, with Peter, with David, with Abraham, with everyone. Why? Because it's God's will to shed his grace abroad in our lives. To shed his grace abroad in our lives. And the only way that we will experience that is to ask him for it. It's just that simple. That's the faith part. I'm either going to, evaluate that by my thinking. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Or God says to do it. So what should I do if I'm going to do it by faith? Do it. In spite of how I feel, yep. In spite of how I feel. That's the faith part. Has anybody here never been in an airplane? Raise your hand if you've never been in an airplane. Never been in an airplane. You remember the first time you got in an airplane? That hunk of metal, that weight of metal, you put your faith that those engines and that pilot knew what he was doing. You didn't even know who he was. You probably still don't know who he is. Amen. And yet we put our faith in a human being that we don't even know to put us up in the air 30,000 plus feet at some 500 miles an hour to take us across the planet. My God's more worthy to put our faith and trust in. We'll put our faith and trust in the things that are passing away and be careful that we don't sidestep. I'd rather put my faith and my trust in what God says. And you know what? Listen, he will substantiate it. He will confirm it. He wants to. He says, if you call unto me, I will answer. It glorifies me to instill in you the excitement of calling upon your heavenly Father. That's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to wow you and I. Listen, put this notion aside that it's because it's what we're supposed to do. That's not what God's about. It's to glorify him in and through us and to awe us of who he is. Do you think when you stand before the Lord God in eternity, do you think you might be a little awed? Do you think you might be a little awed that there'll be no more time? Do you think you might be a little awed at the body that you'll be given that will never die? You think you'll be a little awed? No more pain, no more sickness. Do you think you'll be a little awed? Now, here's what the world would have you to be. Yeah, heaven, you know, a white robe and a harp. That's what the world says. Oh, no. Oh, there's so much that God has for us in him. But wait. Today, Today we can have that and experience, and God wants us to experience it because it changes our outlook on life. And it causes us to say, you know what, I'm in a hard place right now. But my God holds me in his hands, and I know that, and he confirms that. And I can still praise his name. Really, Paul, even when you're in prison? Really, believer, even when things don't go the way you'd like them to go, you can still bless and praise the name of God? Yeah. And listen, it's not fabricated. It's because God makes the reality of his grace in your life that you are pulled to the place, just like if you were standing in front of him. I'm not comparing the two, but he brings his presence in such a way that on this side of eternity, he brings us so near to him that we can worship him on Monday. Yeah, on Tuesday and Wednesday and every day. And he wants us to. And we will see that, you know what? That is of greater value than anything that this world. Abraham was a wealthy man, but you know what? Nothing came between him and his God. Did he have failures? Yeah, he did. But he still knew where his joy was at. He still knew where his peace was at. Job, the same thing. But he did not allow the cares of the world to interfere or his circumstances to interfere with his relationship with the Lord, because what he experienced was of greater value than anything this world can give us. That's where God wants the heart of every believer, if we'll have it. Amen? It's a mutual faith. It's the same blessing that God wants to give that will revolutionize and change our lives in such a way that the world will know there is a God in heaven. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the wisdom that it brings. Lord, the understanding that it brings to the faith that you've given to us. Lord, we pray that you would build Northwood Baptist Church spiritually, that it would glorify you, and that we would be found faithful when you return. And Lord, just as important in your heart and mind, that we would be the witnesses of your grace and your peace and your love to our own families first, and then to our church family and to the world. God, may we see your life-changing power in a stronger way than ever before, that will encourage our families, our church family, and then allow us to be the witness that you want us to be to the world. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.